Shudram,
Shudram,
on grass.
On grass.
Charam,
Charam,
grazing.
Grazing.
Samanasham,
Samanasham,
of a beautiful flower garden.
A beautiful flower garden.
Sharane,
Sharane,
under the protection.
Under the protection.
Mititva,
being united with a woman.
Raktam,
attached.
Sarangri,
Sarangri,
of bumblebees.
Gana,
of groups.
Samasu,
to the singing.
Lubha
Karanam,
whose ear is attracted.
Agre,
in front.
Vikan,
tigers.
Ashu
Tripa,
who live at the cost of another's life.
Aviganaya,
neglecting.
Yantam,
moving.
Prishte,
behind.
Mrigam,
the deer.
Mrigaya,
search out.
Lubdaka,
of a hunter.
Bana,
bana,
by the arrows.
Bhinnam,
liable to be pierced.
Translation. My dear king, please search out that deer who is engaged in eating grass in a very nice flower garden along with his wife. That deer is very much attached to his business, and he is enjoying the sweet singing of the bumblebees in his garden. Just try to understand his position. He is unaware that before him a tiger, which is accustomed to living at the cost of another's flesh. Behind him is a hunter who is threatening to pierce him with sharp arrows. Thus the deer's death is imminent. Purport. Here is an allegory in which the king is advised to find a deer that is always in a dangerous position. Although threatened from all sides, the deer simply eats grass in a nice flower garden, unaware of the danger all around him. All living entities, especially human beings, think themselves very happy in the midst of families, as if living in a flower garden and hearing the sweet humming of bumblebees. Everyone is centered around his wife, who is the beauty of family life. The bumblebee's humming may be compared to the talk of children. The human being, just like the deer, enjoys his family without knowing that before him is the factor of time, which is represented by the tiger. The fruit of activities of a living entity simply create another dangerous position and oblige him to accept different types of bodies. For a deer to run after a mirage of water in the desert is not unusual. The deer is also very fond of sex. The conclusion is that one who lives like a deer will be killed in due course of time. Vedic literature is therefore advised that we should understand our constitutional position and take the devotional service before death comes. According to Bhagavatam 11.9.29, labdha sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manushyam artadam anityam apiha dhira turnam yateta napatet anumrityayadvam nishreyasaya vishaya kalo saragata syat. After many births, we have attained this human form. Therefore, before death comes, we should engage ourselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the fulfillment of human life. So here Maharaj Pachina Bharhishat, he's heard everything from Narad Muni. But unfortunately, he has not taken it seriously yet that this has to be done now. Means he's planning. Yes, I'll call my sons, they'll come back, I'll put them on the throne, I'll go through all that ceremony, I'll have done all these rituals very nicely, and then I'll go to the forest, right? And then we'll take up the spiritual life. But unfortunately, he hasn't noticed that time is going, it's late. Right? His sons are grown. Someone else can do this, actually. means the ministers are there, everything. The king's not actually going to do all that arrangement. He's simply going to be present, you know, give us some direction, but he's not actually going to personally arrange it. His ministers, everyone else, are arranged these things. And his sons, when they are self-realized, then they'll be ready to come back. Right? When they've gone out, they've done their penances, they've done their austerities, then they're going to come back, and then they're going to take up their business anyway. But there's always the idea, if I don't do it, it won't happen nicely, or this or that, or just the attachment to actually seeing that something accomplished, right? Because that's the whole idea in the material world, is there's a result is gained, and that pleasure from that result, even if it's someone else's result, I'm doing the work out of the mode of goodness. So, therefore, it's my duty, I do that because I'm supposed to, but still, the even though the result's not yours, the experience of the result we want. In some way, there's a connection. So, because of this, then Narad Muni now is starting another story. Right? And so, the other one's been very nice, gone through everything, but now he's showing another one. This will be also, you know, very pointed. So he's giving the examples here of the deer. The deer is in his nice garden, and he's there with his partner, and he's very comfortable with the business at hand. So he's committed to that interaction and everything, because there's a completeness. Whenever the masculine and feminine principle are properly put together, properly understood, then the that environment of that is very complete. But unfortunately, this completeness is still material. It still won't give satisfaction, neither to the person nor to his partner. So then the difficulty comes is that he's thinking it's all very nice, the situation is nice, the garden's nice, the family life is nice, all the bees humming, it sounds so sweet and wonderful. But he's missing the point that it's not actually going to satisfy him. Right? Because all this will be taken away, right? Time is taking it away. And then there's the hunter. Right? So the problem is you engage the senses, you can have a problem. Just time takes everything away. So what he's trying to point out is that spiritual life is for now. Right? He has a nice plan. Right? Okay, I'm here. I've heard this nice discussion. I can see spiritual life is important. So therefore, I will finish up my duties and, you know, install my son on the throne. And then, seeing that everything is nice, then I will go to the forest. Then I will take up spiritual life. You see the weakness? No, spiritual life should be taken up now. Technically, you don't have to go to the forest to do it. You just have to accommodate what's going on now. That's the main thing. But we identify them as two separate things, right? Because everything is being done in a certain way. And by it being done in a certain way, then it has a certain result. So each item, each endeavor is a completely separate thing. But if one looks at it, no, they're all various things on one path, right? On the material, sense gratification. On the spiritual, it's pleasing Krishna. So the endeavor itself, if it's not connected to the Lord, it just doesn't have the results that one requires. So he hasn't seen this point. He still thinks it's the ritual. He still thinks it's the activity that makes it spiritual. No, it's the consciousness that makes it spiritual. It's that doing it for Krishna, that makes it spiritual. Right? While you're at it, there are recommended activities that are best used in spiritual. Right? Just like if you're cooking, there's recommended things that you use. But the point is the cooking method still works whether you have ideal ingredients or not. Right? I was told of one Rajasthani recipe that in the summer when nothing grows and everything, right? So they take the pot, you put in your ghee, put in your spices, everything. When they're all roasted nicely, you put in a handful of nice round rocks. And you stir them around, right? And then when that's, you know, like that, and then you put in water. You know, and you make a nice sauce and everything. And then when you finish with that, you take it off the fire, take the rocks out, and eat that sauce with your chapatis. Okay? So now cooking worked. It's not ideal. Right? Does that make sense? Like we would think, why put the rocks? But the point is the rocks have to cool down the chaunts and the spices would work at the proper temperature and everything. Otherwise it'll function too quickly. Right? So whatever it is. The point is that cooking goes on even though it's not ideal. So that's the whole point. It's not the quality of ingredients that makes Krishna consciousness. It's the quality of the consciousness itself. Naturally, if the consciousness is purified, is elevated, then one naturally, if it's available, uses better quality ingredients. You know, it's like if the rocks are sitting there and then some vegetables are sitting there, just because the rocks are a little bit closer, you don't think, ah, well, we'll use the rocks. No, you make that endeavor. What will be better? But if you can't see the vegetables, you only see rocks, okay, hey, then, you know, we're cooking rocks, right? So the idea is that now is the moment, not later, not after I've arranged this or arranged that, because there's always something more to arrange, because that's his plan. What if his kids decide, you know, to stay in the forest? You know, what happens if, you know, another king attacks and takes up? I mean, so many things that could happen, because that's the things. We make our plan. I'll do all this, then I'll be able to be Krishna conscious. But the problem is the plan never really works, right? Think about it, history. How many plans have worked? If the plan actually worked as they planned it, it's generally written in a book, right? You know, people are still talking about it, right? You know, the guys from World War II are still sitting around in their wheelchairs talking about that moment, right? They don't talk about all the plans that never worked. They always talk about the only couple that did work, right? That's the way it goes, because the plans never really work the way you want them to. There's always some variety in that, but we don't factor that in. So the point is it's always changing. It's always, that tiger is always there, time is there. It's always changing things. Right? The hunter is there. That engagement of the senses always gives reactions we don't expect. Because our point is I'll do this, I'll get this result, but what about all the other factors? What about what you did previously, how that's going to affect the result? What you're doing now, how that's going to affect the result? We don't look at all that. No, I made my plan, it's perfect, right? According to Niti, means with his ethics, it says, that's for a fool. The fool thinks, I've made my plan, now everything's fine. No, you make your plan, when you've executed, gotten the results, then you can say, okay, that was nice. Right? So that's the thing, we have our plans. But unfortunately, if the plans don't include being Krishna conscious right now, then they're still useless. They're just plans in the mirage. Right? Nice mirage. Do we have one coconut tree or three in the mirage? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, like that. How big should the oasis be? You know, like a nice little cute one so I can just sit there and take it all in, or some big vast, expansive, you know, but then, you know, then other people might come on the other side and, you know, start a barbecue or something, you know, that's going to mess it up, you know, so better to keep it a little bit, you know, where I can keep the control of it, you know, like that. And is there a big rock there, right? You know, because, you know, you have the sand, should be a nice big rock there, you know, some little green thing sticking. I mean, how, you know, what should be there in my mirage, right? You know, in the plans and all that. And, but the point is it's still a mirage. That's the sad part. So if Krishna consciousness is not applied now, you don't get the benefit now, because the mirage does not give benefit. Right? People in their 50s, 60s are still trying to accomplish what they wanted to do when they were teenagers. Right? Because the original plan didn't work, so then you have midlife crisis. You might not survive. But if you do survive, then you make a new plan, right? That's the new you, right? So now you go out and, you know, get some clothes that are 20 years earlier than you should be wearing, and go jump out of an airplane somewhere and, you know, yell and scream a bit like that and hope your parachute opens. You know, it's something like that. You know, start an offshore company. You know, something. But the point is it's still trying to accomplish what you wanted to do as a kid. That's time. Plans don't work on the material platform. As far as satisfaction, it means not you've got many things accomplished, yes. There's been many successes, right? Failures are there, but we've gotten through them. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? You know, isn't that how God is, right? But the point is that are you satisfied? No. So that's the whole thing to learn. It doesn't matter what you do, what arrangements you make on the material platform, trying to make it more perfect, you'll never be satisfied. You can't. It's impossible. It's the way the material world is built. You can't be satisfied. It's just the way it is. So the whole point is add spiritual life, because it's the soul you're trying to satisfy. The body really couldn't care less. It couldn't. Right? The guy is sitting there on the side. He's still sitting there on the side of you know, K2. Right? He's been there for the last 30 years. Does his body really care that, you know, he's frozen? No. His relatives do, but the body couldn't care less. Does that make sense? That's the thing. The body doesn't care. So it's not we're trying to satisfy the body, but you're trying to satisfy the soul. Soul thinks it's the body, that's why you can't be satisfied. You know, how sit down with the best meal you can think of, you know, your dream meal, okay? Got it all in front of you, everything's hot, everything's nice, there's no one there to bother you, you know, like that. Everything's really cool. Sit down there, put your mirror there, like that. Pick up beach preparation and put it in the mouth in the mirror. Go ahead, do the whole thing, go through the whole prep, you know, like that. You know, that's a knockout, like that. Are you going to get satisfied? No. So that's what we're doing. So spiritual life simply means, instead of putting it in the mirror, put it in your mouth. That's all the acharyas are asking, right? Even babies can do it, right? You know. So it's not rocket science. But the problem is we simply think, no, but this little material arrangement, then I'll be satisfied. But the soul can't be satisfied because it has nothing to do with the soul. Do it for Krishna, then you're doing that for the soul. Then you'll be satisfied. So that's the point. So Maharaj Prachina Barhishat, still the plans, the material arrangements, you know, okay, I have to leave the garden and all that, but still, you know, we should make the garden a little nicer and stuff like that before we go. No, it's nothing to do with that. Like that. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I have two questions. One is, what is not to survive midlife crisis, how it looks like?
What does that got to do with class?
You mentioned that. So.
As an example.
Okay.
You know, it's like I say, yeah, so he drove his car, you know, to... You're driving from point A to point B, so you can drive for Krishna or just drive for yourself. What kind of car was he driving? You know, like that? You know, was it an eco-friendly car? Or, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That's another discussion. That's a social discussion we're talking here. Not surviving means that he falls into the mode of ignorance and thinks, now I'm not the doer, so he can't function. So neither spiritually nor materially can he do anything.
So because we are so much conditioned, we consider these material ingredients as offerable to Krishna. But
yes, we think the ingredients are what you're offering. It's the love. They're the medium through which you're offering the ingredients. But you know what I'm saying? In other words, the boy is giving a flower to the girl. So is it the flower or is it the expression of the affection?
Expression.
Yes, so that's the point. But we think the flower is what's important. You know, the girl gets the flower, oh, this is so nice. Oh, isn't it great flowers? Look at the stems and all that. Oh, yes, no, that's nice, nice. So what do you know? But look at this. See how it's rapid? Like that. That's the problem. You know, and then after he goes into it and all that, and he's talking about it, how nicely it's arranged and all that, and then he turns around, the girl's not there. So that's the whole point.
I noticed that this is going on in among the association of devotees in a large scale.
Yes, that's why Srimad Bhagavatam's mentioning it.
Yeah. So, but Krishna actually never enjoys the material ingredients. Is it so? Never.
What's the point? You know what I'm saying? Because the point is you can't express without the ingredients. But the point is the expression is primary, the ingredients are secondary. Right? It's just like this. What's important with this book? These funny little letters on the page and the ink and the particular quality of the paper and the weight and everything? Or what's actually, you know, what is the intent and meaning and of what's written? Right? But for the publisher, it's all about the first things we mentioned. Right? Does that make sense? The writer, it's simply the book is the medium through which to express what he has to say. You understand? So the thing is you can't separate them. If you separate them too much, then if this is the primary, we don't need the secondary. But then how do you express it? He has a great book, but where? How do you see it? Right? Does that make sense? That's why masculine and feminine go together. The masculine is what you want to say. The feminine is the medium through which it's said. You can't separate them. And that's Mayavad. Right? If we try to enjoy this, that element, that's material. And if we separate them, that's also material. So one's karma, one's jnana. So we have to be careful that when we see a fault in karma, we don't switch therefore to jnana. Oh, therefore it's jnana. And when it's not jnana, oh, therefore it's karma. No, it's neither. It's spiritual. Means both of these function together. It looks like karma, but it has the knowledge of jnana, but it has nothing to do with either. It's for Krishna. That's what we want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so again, it's a secret of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva.
Yes.
Both together.
It's just that's what Bhakti Yoga is. You know what I'm saying? It means all Vaishnavas accept that. These are just the ingredients you're using, but that's not what's important. Right? The mother's cooking for the child. She's using ingredients. But it's not so important what she's cooking that she's totally into that and forgets the child. It's about pleasing the child. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you.
You had something? Oh, okay. Okay. Yes.
When I was having a nice meal on the beach, I was satisfied at that point.
You were very good.
I was.
Yeah. And then?
The following morning, I was dissatisfied because I didn't have that meal. Same with spiritual life, I'm finding that when I'm in the association, the right association, I'm satisfied. But the following morning, I'm dissatisfied and we start all over again. So the point is,
Yes, that's what we're waiting
for. The definition of satisfaction, is it permanent? Or do we go through these peaks and troughs? And
it means in the material, you go through peaks and troughs, but yes. In spiritual, you don't. It's permanent.
But I don't experience that.
That's called Bhakti Abhas. That's the definition of devotional service before you come to the pure devotional platform. Once you come to the pure devotional platform, then you won't think like this. Because otherwise, the result of your thinking is, well, whether I do material or whether I do spiritual, it really doesn't matter. Right? So then what does that leave you with? Right, yeah, it's called Buddhism, Mayavad, Jainism, like that. That's what it's called. You know? But what's the result? You won't give them up. You'll just absorb yourself in the material. So all it is a trick of the mind that, well, it doesn't matter if I try to endeavor materially. Because, you know, it doesn't matter if I endeavor spiritually either. But the point is we have to remember, death is there. It's not going to be good. You know what I'm saying? So, remember that aspect. Look around. You know, just how many months ago, your country could have totally fallen into anarchy. Was it good? You were happy, you were satisfied at that time. Sit down, have a good meal. No. The material world doesn't allow it. Some karma is there before. You had that moment, and then you were on the beach. But if you think about it, that beach was freezing wind, and the wind's coming in, the waves are coming in, the sun's going down, it's getting dark. So you can't maintain the satisfaction. You take it within those few nanoseconds, yes. And then you got to go to the toilet. So if you look at it from a little bit bigger perspective, it doesn't have a lot going for it. Yes.
All right, but the thing is this, that when I'm performing some sort of devotion, so-called devotional service, the bodily needs are still there, and I'm suffering the same thing.
Yes, but the point is, so are you the body. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the body is what's giving me the trouble and pain. So, but it's temporary. But I can get myself a spiritual body, which doesn't have any of these problems. So I could do that, but since I'm here, I might as well do this and Hari Bol. Does that make sense? Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, do spiritual plans work?
Do spiritual plans work? What do you mean by spiritual plan?
Like sometimes we have a plan to read a certain amount, or we have goals. So maybe they don't work out perfectly as we...
But what do you mean by work?
Say I want to read the Srimad Bhagavatam in a certain amount of days.
Okay.
And some other factors come up and it doesn't happen. So I'm just wondering how we can become successful in those goals or spiritual plans.
Why do you have those goals? What's the point of those goals?
To make spiritual advancement.
Okay, so whether you were reading every day or whether or not, did you make spiritual advancement?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, hopefully.
Now, if you wanted to read some material book, would you make any spiritual advancement?
No.
No. So the point is why do you say there's no success? Goals aren't attained. You understand? Because we're thinking it by material accomplishment, we've gained something. But it has nothing to do with what you accomplish. It's whether you've pleased Krishna. That's the goal. That's what you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Just that you've been involved in the manipulation of material energy to see a transformation in it. That's not significant of success. The point is, as we engage our nature in Krishna's service, right? So it's our duty to do those things. But that takes care of the body, mind, intelligence, false ego, and everything connected with that. But the point is it's the souls trying to do those duties to please God. That is the devotion. We have to be able to discriminate what's material and what's spiritual. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you please Krishna, then it doesn't matter what you've accomplished materially. Because accomplished materially, who's accomplished something? Right? Caesar did something. Right? In his time, he did great things. Right? I mean, not that the French would consider it a great accomplishment, but, you know, he conquered areas of the kingdom they couldn't. He solidified it. He got the support of the people. Right? He had dynamic plans. You know, so if we say Romans, who do you think of? Caesar. Right? But how did it work out? What's there now? What's left of the Roman Empire? You know what I'm saying? So you can go like that with anybody in history. No, he changed history. Yeah, and then again it changed. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is the material doesn't have anything to offer. The soul's duty is serving Krishna. That's his natural nature. So the point is you do that wherever you are. Let's take a kid, okay? Let's take a 11-year-old kid, okay? Precocious enough, right? And you give him one of those little handheld video things that he plays with, right? Okay? Now, put him in his bedroom. What is he doing? Playing the video game. Okay, put him at the dinner table. What is he doing? Playing the video game. You know, put him in the car. What is he doing? Playing the video game. Take him to school. He's playing the video game. Let's take him to the opera. He's still playing the video game. Okay? So now, does he feel any discomfiture? Right? Other than, okay, when you're eating, it's tough, more hard to play the game with one hand, okay? You know, the cars sometimes, they stop suddenly and you miss that nanosecond where you could have, you know, blown up the whole, you know, thing. But, you know, understand? So these things. And also the opera, you know, it's like he has to sit so straight and stuff. You know, it's like that kind of stuff. But the point is does it actually affect his focus on the video game? No. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Spiritual life, it doesn't matter the situation, you're always focused on Krishna, you can do it anywhere. But we're thinking, no, when the material ingredients are perfect, then I can do spiritual life. That's Maharaj Prachina Bahishat's mistake. He thinks devotional service depends on the material ingredients. No, you can be devotional now. It has nothing to do with the material ingredients, it means nothing. Because one's real and one's an illusion. But we're so used to this material dream. We think this is all in all. And when the dream's right, you know, okay, we're in a bad part right now, but when it becomes a nice dream, you know, when the, you know, sun comes back up and the butterflies are flying and, you know, all the things then it'll be nice. Then I can be Krishna conscious. No, you can be Krishna conscious now. That's what he's talking about. But we always mix the two together. Like that. So that's a lack of intelligence. That's why it says the unintelligent. It doesn't mean that they don't have intelligence. They're not using it. Right? A rich man who doesn't use his money, what is he called? A miser. We don't say he's a rich man. We say he's a miser. So a human being who has lots of intelligence but doesn't use it properly in spiritual life, you can't call him intelligent. Right? I know modern society does. They'll say he's a science or an academic or, you know, a genius, but he's not. He's only expert in, you know, whether there's, you know, one or three coconut trees. You know what I'm saying? He's smarter, so he has, you know, what is it, VSX. Coconut trees. Well, the other guy's not so smart. He still has just the 2D classics. Yes.
Maharaj. A lot of time in your teaching you mentioned, you did it today too, masculine and feminine principles. Could you identify what those principles are and what, if any, what are the similarities and if any differences above and below spiritual and material worlds?
Above it's used to please Krishna, below it's used to please yourself.
But what are those principles?
Principles, the masculine is the particular attribute of something. The feminine is what you're is the forms and activities that manifest that attribute.
Like the cooking examples.
Yeah, like that. It means the cooking is the masculine principle, the pots, the pans, the particular recipe you're using, those are the feminine. You know, that you stir like this and use the pan like that, you know, or what the temperature is, or those are all the feminine. The masculine is the cooking. So that means you can have all the feminine, but if there's no cooking, it's useless. Right? Cooking is independent. You can take it and apply it anywhere, whatever the feminine situation is. But the feminine is dependent upon the masculine to be actually of use. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the masculine is the actual and the inherent, means the Pancharatra describes it as I-ness, while feminine is I-hood.
Say it again.
I-ness.
I-this?
I-ness.
Ness.
N-E-double-S. Okay. I-dash-ness. Let's say you have sweetness. That's the masculine. But now you have sweets that manifest sweetness. You know, so there's sweethood. So there's a variety of things that you would call sweets. But the principle is they manifest sweetness. So the masculine principle won't be appreciated unless the feminine is there. Otherwise, how do you see it? It's not manifest. But the feminine principle is dependent upon the masculine because its function has no meaning without the masculine principle. So that way, they're both simultaneously one because you can't function without them, but they're different. That was, you know, the question before, because the tendency is we take one or the other. That's material. Right? They can't see the oneness of it. Is that they're one, but they're different at the same time. So each has their natural position at the same time as is their it's that combination that makes things work. You know, so that's why on the material platform, then one tries to put together on the bodily platform the masculine and feminine and on the social platform, and then we consider it complete. You know, and then it says here the deer's committed to that. He's committed to being in that relationship with the female. Right? So you have the home, you have the family, you have the house, the money, the social position, everything. Like that. He's committed to that, but time is taking it away. His senses are, you know, destroying everything.
So masculine and feminine are another way of expressing the oneness and the difference of everything?
Yes, it's everything works like that. Everything has a dharma. Mm-hmm. So you have the forms of that it manifests through, and then you have what its inherent nature is. Mm-hmm. Just like heat, light, and the ability to burn, is that what's in fire? But unless there's a manifestation of fire, you don't see it.
Sun and the sunshine.
Yeah, you can't see it. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, that principle, you can only tell through the symptoms. So the symptoms are the feminine. I can see the light, I can see the heat and all that. But those are what makes fire. So that's the point. They're non-different, but they are different. So the point is now in that science, it's how you apply it. Because you have the dormant manifestation of nature. You have the manifestation of nature, and you have the perverted. So the difference is when the masculine is manifest through the proper object, then it's considered in its natural state. But if it's applied on the wrong object, it's perverted. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I once saw a bumper sticker. Maybe you could comment on this bumper sticker. It was in Berkeley, California. So that's you get an idea of where that's
coming from. But isn't there a Z in there?
Berserkly, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the bumper sticker said, I talked to God last night and boy was she angry. So could you comment on that in light of the masculine and feminine? What was wrong with that bumper sticker? And angry was a euphemism for the actual word on the bumper sticker.
Yeah. The point is that bumper stickers are supposed to be something that's amusing. And so if it's amusing, you buy it. You know? And if you're amused enough, you actually put it on your bumper. That's basically what it's for.
But the person who bought that bumper sticker, there was. I'm sure that person was angry too, knowing Berkeley.
Could be, but the element is you have the element that you're trying to fit, because God's always thought of as a masculine, so if you put it as feminine, you know, and then, you know, people don't really necessarily commune with God directly like that, so I was, you know, so it's all these different things. So, you know, it means, in other words, you must have said something stupid. If she was a woman, then you're going to have said something stupid. You used the wrong words, wrong tone of voice, wrong situation, so that's why she's angry.
Perverted reflection, suffice it to say.
Yeah, all it is just they play on words. It's just intellectual because it sounds interesting. Yeah. You know, it's easy, but like you said, there'll be something that's there that he has a feeling he can identify with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Krishna, you mentioned thinking I'm not the doer is a symptom of the mode of ignorance. Can you? Because devotees, that's a cliche. I'm not the doer. Can you talk about that?
The point is, this means you have both. I'm not the doer, because you're not actually doing it. The sanction by the Lord is carried out by the modes of nature, so the soul is actually not involved. But because the soul identifies with it, therefore he is the doer. Right? Because he gets the responsibility. So in one, you're taking who's actually mechanically doing the work. It's not the soul. But the other is, because the work's been done, that result has to go to somebody. So who identifies with it, they're the one who gets it. So that's why it'll be defined both ways. The soul is the doer because he thinks he is. But he's not the doer because mechanically he's not doing it. So it explains, one is why he's not the controller of the universe, because he's not actually the doer. But at the same time, it explains karma, because he identifies with it, that's why he gets it. So devotees, because they're doing it for Krishna, therefore because they're not the doer and the result's not for them, they're liberated. The same work, they'll be liberated by the materialist. By doing the same thing, he'll become entangled. Does that make sense?
I was thinking the statement you made, thinking I'm not the doer is the mode of ignorance. What did you mean by that?
You'd have to give the context it was said in.
I can't remember the context, but
the way I understood it
was like a misconception, like you don't do anything because you think I'm not the doer, so you just sleep all day or something.
Oh, I see. That's just on the negative, that you're getting rid of, means when you have the two elements. You have the active element, you have the knowledge element. So, generally speaking, karmis do one, jnanis do the other. Right? So the problem is it never works. But it's only in devotional service they can be combined. You know what to take from each. So you don't take the lack of endeavor from the jnanis and the lack of knowledge of the karmis. You take the activity of the karmis and the knowledge of the jnanis. That's the point. That's why Shastra is important, and you know what to take, what to leave. Right? That's the middle path, knowing what to take, what to leave. It's middle path, not a compromise. That's just a political. Middle path means you know what to take from one side, what to take from the other, because those are the natural things of the middle. When you just take it on its own, it goes to one side or the other. The two have to be combined. Right? So that's... That works, sir.
So pure gyan, you're saying we don't do anything, or if we take pure gyan, that's actually influenced by the mode of ignorance because there's no action?
Anything in the material world's influenced by ignorance. It's just a matter within ignorance, and we have to throw in some flavors of goodness and passion. Because the basis of existence in the material world is ignorance, because we don't know that we're servant of Krishna. As soon as you know you're servant of Krishna, then one's transcendental to the material world. Right? Because Krishna controls the material energy. From that, he's called Tamasi. That's one of his names. Right? When Krishna glances, then in that glance is the jivas, false ego, and time. So that's how you're starting the Mahat. The universal manifestation is coming, because there's false ego and there's time. Right? So it means, in other words, on that false identity, I'm active. I'm active within a false identity. Right? So that's the Mahat. That's the basis. Right? And then from there, there's the secondary creation. Then it's manifest. Right? So then they act under the modes. But here is that they're... That whole concept that I am separate from the Lord and I'm the enjoyer, that's there before the mode of ignorance. But that's the basis of it, because they don't know who they are. So it's not under the modes. It's there. That's why the Karnasura is beyond. That's why no philosophy in the material world can actually get at that part. Because they're dealing within the material world. They can't get at the I'm the controller and the joy, the Purusha Bhav. It doesn't feature in any philosophy other than Vaishnavism. That's why they never get freed from the material entanglement. Does this make any sense? Or?
Yeah. To me it does.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Arjuna can operate in karma yoga. So why Krishna say you
karma yoga?
Karma yoga. I mean he can work with Krishna consciousness.
But karma yugas?
Yoga.
Oh, okay. Yes. I think it was karma yoga. This is a new one.
Karma yoga. So yeah, why Krishna asked him to give up all dharma, sour dharma, paricchaya?
Because dharma means, what dharma are we talking about? Is he talking about giving up the dharma of the nature of the soul to serve God? Or he's talking about the dharma, meaning that I'm doing this because, you know, I'm supposed to because I'm a good guy. He's a kshatriya. He's on the battlefield doing his dharma because there's a bad guy there with his friends, right? And so we're the good guys and we're here with our friends. You understand? So that's, you're establishing justice, you're establishing righteousness, that's dharma. But where's the soul in it? Where's the relation of the soul with God? You understand? You know, when the devotee says, I'm just being practical, Prabhu, that means I'm doing my material dharmas. But where's the Krishna consciousness? So therefore, you give up that idea. Because as we've defined, since you have to express Krishna consciousness through a medium, the medium recommended is pious activities or the proper performance of your duties. So when we say give up dharma and be Krishna conscious, we automatically include how you express it. Right? But because of our contamination of karma and jnana, for us, they're two different things. Karma is one thing, jnana is another thing. So, therefore, if you're saying it, so the knowledge of it means it's jnana, so there's no activity. Or the karma is, we're doing the karma, there's no knowledge. That's us. Krishna's saying, give up that mentality. You have to see that everything I do is simply sad-dharma, service to Krishna. So that means if you're a kshatriya and you're doing the kshatriya duties, do those to please Krishna, not to please yourself. You know what I'm saying? But worst thing is, if I'm not doing it to please myself, then there should be nothing, because that's all we've ever done. It's either we're doing something, it's for myself, or if it's not for myself, I'm not doing anything. So whenever we say this, we always translate it into one of these two. Right? So then one will be thinking, see, you're not supposed to do anything, so we don't need all this varnashram stuff. The other one will say, no, see, you have to do the varnashram. But the point is both have missed the point. If you're not doing it for Krishna, you're not actually doing anything. You know, you're wasting your time in the material world. That's material dharma. You know what I'm saying?
Bhagavad Vidyabhusha in his commentary, he said that Sarvadam Paramjaja means it's for Nilapeksha devotee, you know. He just concentrated on pure devotional service.
Why ask the question?
So
why ask the question?
My question.
Yes, so your question is this.
The point is different.
Is Krishna says Sarvadam Paramjaja, and Baladev Vidyabhushan in his commentary says this is for the Nirapeksha devotee, the Uttamadhikari, you know, who's liberated. So therefore, does this verse apply to me in my conditioned state? That's your question. You know what I'm saying? It's not an actual question that you're trying to get an answer for something where you can apply it in your life, right? Because when it says submissive inquiry, the actual meaning is I'm inquiring so that I can apply it into my life, because the next stage is sevaya. I apply it. I want to know how to apply it, and I apply it. That's the three stages. So you've heard someone say something, Baladev says someone else, until you throw them up so they can intellectually fight with each other and watch the fun. And then afterwards, when your fun ran out, no, but then Baladev says this. That's a waste of everybody's time. That's just cheating. That's just intellectual just games. The point is, you want to know, I'm confused. This says serve everything. Here it says here, you're saying that we should surrender. I had the idea, okay, I should surrender everything. and give up everything, but that's only for the nirapeksha, so that must mean there's some activity that I'm supposed to be doing. Right? Does that make sense? The difference is am I doing it for myself or am I doing it for Krishna? Doing for myself, that's material dharma, and doing it for Krishna, that's sat dharma. So give up all material dharmas. And nirapeksha simply means he doesn't have any material desire, so it's a pure devotee. So pure devotee is also a mudra. That's where it starts. So that means anybody can do it. It's available for everybody. But we'll have our idea. No, nirapeksha has to mean the uttamadhikari, has to mean, you know, like that. Because then if we do that, then it doesn't apply to me. Hey, I'm cool. You know? Does that make sense? So you have to be very, very careful. Don't let the mind trick you like that. You know? And ask questions that you're trying to find something to actually apply it. Or, if you don't know about it, just at least how to remove the doubt, but then say what the point is. Don't throw one thing out, and then when they say something different, oh, but this one says, you know, these are just kid games. Kids do that. You know what I'm saying? You go and ask mommy, can I do this? No. Then you go to ask daddy. Like that. You know, and then when daddy says, well, you know, but mommy said this, you know. Right? What? You know, then they're fighting and he sits back and watches. You understand? That's what kids do. So we should be careful about doing this. So I guess we also have to include not only north of Kazakhstan, but also a bit to the east when it comes to this. This is one of the most popular games in that kind of area. Does that make sense? In other words, whoever has serious, socially, by social experience, if there's authority issues, then this is a fun game. Oh, we have to end now. It's time. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Janitai Gaura Priyamani.